Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen.
Daf Nun. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Sam Dom in honor of the rabbi. Today's daf has been dedicated to Ilu Nishmat, Acham Baruch Ha'ed Ben Miriam, and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We start on Mem Tet Amud Bet, and we're about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. And the Mishnah taught us that we had a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir of how much hametz or how much basar of kodesh does a person have to have in order to warrant him to go back, either to go back to burn his hametz or to go back and burn the basar kodesh in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah said, "Ve'ad kama in chosdin." Rabbi Meir omer zeva zebecha besa. Rabbi Meir said both the shiur of the hametz and the shiur of the basar kodesh was the size of a kabetza. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said zeva zev bechezayit. He said no, the shiur is kezayit for both kezayit hametz and kezayit of basar kodesh. So comes the Gemara and says the memra. This means to say the Rabbi Meir savar kabetza hu dechashiv. The Rabbi Yehuda savar kezayit name hashiv. Do you mean to tell me that the machloket over here is what's considered a significant shi'ur? And therefore you'll say that Rabbi Meir holds that kabetza is significant. That's why you only have to go back for a shi'ur of kabetza, not less. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda will say, no, even a kezai, which is less than a kabetza, is significant. Is that the nature of this machloket? Udminhi. We wrote a contradiction. Ad kamahin mizaminin. How much bread does a person have to eat in order for him to qualify to be part of the Zimun? So the Gemara said over there in Berachot, Ad Kezayit. The Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Kabetza. So we had a machloket, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and they said, Rabbi Meir held the Shi'ur is Kezayit. And I'm sorry, Rabbi Meir said, yes, Ad Kezayit. Rabbi Meir said Kezayit, and Rabbi Yehuda said Kabetza. That's how much bread. So it's the opposite of what they're saying over here. Right. So the Gemara comes along and says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Mukhlefet Ashita, switch the Shitot. Which means, by Zimun, switch the Shitot. And therefore, make Rabbi Yehuda the Shita that says, Kezayit, and that's consistent with what he says in our Mishnah and Pesachim, and make Rabbi Meir by Zimun say Kabetza, and it's consistent with our Mishnah as well. The Yefei Einayim says that the reason why you change the Zimun, because we know that Halakha is that you make Berkat HaMazon and you're part of the Zimun if you ate a Kezayit. So therefore we want to make the Biyuda the opinion that says Kezayit, because we know Halakha follows the Biyuda. So therefore we want to make him consistent according to the Halakha that we know that the Shi'ur is a Kezayit. Comes the Gemara and says, Abaya Amar, Le'olam lo tipuch. He says, no, don't switch the Shitot around. Hatam bikra'e pelige, hacha besvara pelige. Which means, by Zimun, it's one machloket. It's based on Pesukim. And by our Mishnah Pesachim, it's based on logic. Hatam bikra'e pelige, by the case of Zimun, it's based on Pesukim. Rabbi Meir Sabar, ve'achalta zu achila, ve'savarta zu shetiyah.
which means what the pasuk says on the chiyuv of berkat mazon. Ve'achalta ve'sabachta uberachta teshem elohecha. So he learns achalta means eat, sabachta means what? You drink. Oh, so therefore, how much is shiur achila? Ve'achila b'kizayit. We know the shiur of achila normally is kizayit. So that's what Rabbi Meir got kizayit. Rabbi Yehuda said, ve'achalta ve'sabachta achila shiyesh ba'sevi'a. A type of eating that has sevi'a, meaning that where a person is going to be satisfied or satiated. So what type of eating brings sevi'a? Ve'ezu zu bekabetza. This must be the shiur of bekabetza. So therefore, by berkat mazon, the basis of what the machloket is on, how to interpret the pasuk of v'achata v'sabachta. Haka b'spara peligi. But over here, by the case of Hametz and Besar Kodesh, it's a different sevara, it's a different argument, it's based on logic. What's the machloket? Can it be Meir Sabar? Because Rabbi Meir holds Hazarato Ketum'ato. He bases the significant shi'ud of Hametz and Besar Kodesh that's going to cause you to have to go back home to burn the Hametz and burn the Besar Kodesh. He bases it and that it's analogous to the law of Tum'ah. Which means, ma tum'ato bekabetza, how much does food have to be the size of the food in order to convey tum'ah to others? So the shi'ur is kabetza. And some shi'ur told that even to receive tum'ah, it has to be the size of a kabetza. So le'inyan tum'ah, the shi'ur is what? Kabetza. So therefore, af hazarato bekabetza. So the first rabbi, Rabbi Meir, he based the law of Hazara on the laws of Tumat Ochlim. Since we find by Tumat Ochlim that the Shi'ur Hashuv is what? A Kabetza. So too, the young going back home will say the Shi'ur Hashuv is Kabetza. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar Hazarato Ke Isuro. Which means he says no. The basis of having to go back home is the same basis of how much Hametz or how much Besar Kodesh would be Asur, which means if a person has a Kezayit Hametz in his house, that's already Shi'ur of Isur. If a person has a Kezayit of Basar Kodesh that became Pasul already, that's Isur already, that's a significant Shi'ur, and if he has to go back to burn it. So therefore Taprashi Ki Isuro Shir Hametz Ubesar Kodesh Nameh Mishinifsal Biyotze Asur Ba'achila. Which means, once you have a kezayit of basar that became pasul by leaving Jerusalem, it becomes asur ba'achila. So therefore, just like the shiur of isur of chametz is a kezayit, the shiur of besar kodesh that left Jerusalem is a kezayit. So therefore, af hazarato bekezayit. So if you only have to go back if the shiur is a kezayit, ma isuro bekezayit af hazarato bekezayit. So therefore, basically, we have quote Abaye. There's a difference between the laws of zimun and the laws of Pesach and Besar Kodesh. Zimun is based on how to learn the Pesach Pasuk, and by the case of our Mishnah, it's based on Sevara. Do you compare the Shi'ur to Tum'ah, which is Kabetza, or do you compare the Shi'ur to Isur? Tanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Natan Omer, Ze Vaze Kishte Betzim. He has a new Shitaya. He says both the Shi'ur of Hametz and the shi'ur of Basar Kodesh is two betzim. Ve'lo hodu lo hachamim. The hachamim did not agree to the shita. Now the Gemara is going to discuss a pasuk that is going to talk about the future state of Yerushalayim. Since we're discussing Basar that left Jerusalem, so we talked about Jerusalem, so now the Gemara is going to make some derashot on some pesukim. So the first pasuk that the Gemara is doresh comes from Zechariah. Pasuk reads, Ve'haya bayom ahu lo yehye or yekarot ve'kipa'on. What does this mean? So that she right away tells us that, well, we can read it inside. Literally, these are contradictory terms. The word yekarot means something yakar, something precious. The word kipa'on means something light. So therefore, it says in the Pasuk, on that day, light is not going to be precious, important, yakrut, vikepa'on, and light. And kal, meaning not important. So make up your mind, is the light going to be important in the future, or not important? So the Gemara says, "My, what does it mean when it says in the Pasuk, yekarot vikepa'on, which are contradictory terminologies?" Amar bin Azar, ze or, this is referring to the light, shiyakar ba'olam hazeh. In this world, the sun, for example, is very, very precious. That's the biggest source of light that we have. Vekafui le'olam haba. But in olam haba, the sun and the light that it gives is going to be small. It's going to be insignificant compared to the light that's going to be of Shekhinah, or wherever that light is going to emanate from. So therefore, it's going to be a light that used to be great is now going to become small. So that she says in the fourth line, or she yakar ba'olam hazeh kishahamam me'ira b'gburata be'ora gadol. When the sun shines in its strength, it's a great light. Oto or hashuv yakar. That light is very, very, very important. But it's going to be, as we said, insignificant. Now the Maharsha explains from the Aruch that this is referring to Or HaTorah, the light of Torah, which means in this world where it might be very, very difficult to understand and break through the understanding of Torah, La'atid Lavo, it's going to be easy. Means the understanding of Torah, the light of Torah, will be very easy to tap into, that everybody will have understanding. Rabbi Yohanan Amar, Rabbi Yohanan said, Elu Nega'im Ve'aholot. This is referring to the Mishnayot of Masechet Nega'im and Aholot, which are the stringent or the difficult laws of Tum'ah. The Tum'ah of leprosy and the Tum'ah of when a Tum'ah is under an oil in a tent. Shiqarin and ba'olam hazeh. They're very difficult, these subjects to study in this world. Vekefuyin and ba'olam haba. And in ba'olam haba, these subjects are going to be very easily understood. Now the Ya'abetz explains that even though Nega'im and Aholot are not going to have they're not going to be applicable. There's no Nega'im in Olam Haba, there's no Dinim of Aholot. But he says, you still have to learn them. The Torah is never going to be batel. So therefore, the learning of these subjects is going to become easier. Comes the Gemara and says, V'Rabbi Yoshua Nevi Amar, Elu B'nei Adam. This is referring to people, Shiyikarin En Ba'olam Hazeh, that certain people in this world are going to be considered very hashu, very important, V'Kifuin En Olam Haba. When you get to Olam Haba, these people that we thought were very important people, in Olam Haba, they're going to be very, very insignificant. Like the story of Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, halash, he became weak. The itnagid, and he died, and his spirit left him, but he came back. Which means he died, he came back to life. Kihadar, when he returned, Amar le Abu. So his father told him, "My hazit, what did you see? You were in Olam Haba. What did you see?" Amar le Olam Hafuch Ra'iti. He said, "I saw a topsy turvy world. Elyonim lemata v'tachtonim lemahla. The people that were high in this world were low in that world, and the people that were low in this world were high in that world." Amar lo bini, he said, "My son, olam baru ra'ita. You saw not a topsy turvy world. You saw a true world. You saw it correctly. That's the way it's supposed to be." So the Gemara says, "Ve'anan hechi hatam." Says, "What about us? What's our status? The tamidei hachamim. What's our status in the olam haba?" So he says, "Ki hechi di itu anan acha just like we are in this world, which means just like we came into this world and we're preparing, doing the Torah and the Mitzvot, hacha itinan hatam. And so too we're going to go through over there, which means our status is good. So long as we are fulfilling the Torah and the Mitzvot, we are okay. V'shamati shayu omrim, and I heard them say in Olam Abba, asrei mi sheba lekan v'talmudo biyado. Fortunate is a person that comes to this world with the Talmud, with the Torah, biyado, which means in his hand. Which means fortunate is a person that learns in this world and comes to Olam Abba with the Talmud in his hand, which means he's accomplished in studying Torah. That guy has nothing to worry about. He is fortunate. The Shamati, and I also heard Shayu Omrim, that they said Harugim Malchut, those people that were killed by the government, in Adam Yachol Amod Merhisatam, they are on a level where nobody can even stand in their area. These are on such a high madriga, these people, you cannot stand by them. So the Gemara asks, who are these people? I'll just get the right girsa here. So Gemara says, Man Ninu, who are these Harugim Malchut? Who are these ones that were killed by the government? Ili Marab Yakiva Vehaderav. If you'll tell me, oh, it must be Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the martyrs. Asar Aruge Malchut, the 10 martyrs that the Romans killed. Him and his friends. Mishum Aruge Malchut Vetula. What do you mean? Rabbi Akiva's only level that you can't stand in his area is because he was Aruge Malchut. And that's it? I mean, Rabbi Akiva, even before he was Aruge Malchut, he was an accomplished Tamir Hagam. So therefore, must be somebody else we're referring to over here. Because that's not only the status of the Biyakia that was Harugim Malchut, he was Ela Harugim Lud, referring to the people of Lud. What was this people of Lud that died? So that she tells us there were two brothers. It's the famous story that there was a libel against the Jews in the city of Lud, that somebody killed the daughter of the queen, of the king, and they decided they're going to kill the whole city. So two brothers, a fellow by the name of Lulainus and Papus, came along and said, we killed her. Now they didn't kill her, but they came along and admitted something in order to save the rest of the city from destruction. So therefore, since they gave up their lives in order to save Am Yisrael, they were considered Harugei Malchut, and therefore they were able to get a tremendous level in Olam Abba. Now, regarding this, so that's the Harugei Malchut, that you cannot stand in their mechitza. Now, it's worthy for a minute just to give the interpretation of the Binu Hananel that explains on this Gemara Olam Hafuch. Rabbeinu Hananel says that specifically Rabbi Yosef saw two people. One person that was great in this world and low in this world, and they were reversed in the next world. Who were they? So he says, Kabbalah b'yad ha-geonim. There's a tradition from the Geonim, Rav mepi Rav, she'olam hafuch shera'a, haynu shera'a et Shemuel yoshev lefnei Rav Yehuda Talmido. Which means, in this world, Shemuel was the rabbi, and Rabbi Yehuda was the student. But in Olam Abba, it was the opposite. Shemuel, the rabbi, was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda, his talmid, v'ze mishum shemiha b'Shemuel. Which means because of the story that Rabbi Yehuda rebuked his rabbi. What was the story? So the Gemara explained over there, we learned in the Masechet Shabbat, that Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of his rabbi once, and a lady came and started to scream that she needed judgment. She needed somebody to judge her case. So Shemuel said, "But let her go to the Abed Din. It's not my problem." So Rabbi Yehuda, the student, said, "Don't you hold of the pasuk that says, Otem ozno mezaakat dal gam hu yikra velo yane? Don't you hold that if a person closes his ears to the plight of the poor, God's not going to answer his prayers?" So the Gemara, the Baruch Halel, holds that from that story, because of Yehuda rebuked Shemuel, and because Shemuel did not receive this lady and help her, because of that, in Olam Abba, he was demoted because of that story, and the Yehuda was promoted. And that was the Olam Hafuch that he was talking about. In any event, the Gemara continues. And the Pasuk says, this Pasuk is in, again, Zechariah. Bayomahu. On that day, Yehye al Misilot Tasus Kodesh Lashem. On that day will be the Misilot Tasus, which we'll see what this word Misilot Tasus is referring to. Sus is obviously a horse. Kodesh Lashem, it'll be sanctified to God. So the Gemara explains, my Misilot Tasus, what is this terminology Misilot Tasus? Amar of Yoshua ben Nevi, Ati the Kadosh Baruch Hu Lehosif al Yerushalayim, God is going to expand the borders of Yerushalayim Ad Shasus Ras Umasir, until the horse runs and it causes its shade. Masir Melashon Sel, shade. Its shade is underneath it, which means if the horse would run from the morning, so in the morning until Chatzot, until midday, the sun is always on the sides. It's either on his right side or it's on his left side. However, once midday comes, so the sun is overhead and the shade is right underneath the horse itself. And therefore the borders of Jerusalem are going to be so big, it's going to be the distance that a horse can run from the morning until midday. It means the borders of Jerusalem are going to be expanded tremendously. What's the benefit of having such expanded borders? So the Chatam Sofer explains, because now you'll be able to eat Terumah and Kodesh in an expanded area. The Mefarshim do point out that, how is it possible, that's the Marsha says as well, how is it possible to have such a big wall? Which means the wall is going to be a very, 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 very big wall around the big area. So he says, even though you might not be able to build such a big wall, because it's going to be very, 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 you know, inclusive. It says in Zechariah, God says, I'm going to build the wall. It's going to be a wall of fire. So that's one interpretation, that the walls of Jerusalem are going to be expanded. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Kol Misilot Shetolin Lasus Ben Ayinav Yeh Kodesh Lashem, which is referring to all the jewelry, all the trinkets, or the gold that they hang from the neck of the horse in order to adorn it, like we said, is going to be Kodesh Lashem, meaning the Jews are going to be very generous in those days, and they're going to donate all their monies and things, even the gold that's around their horses' necks, to the Bet HaMikdash as a donation. Correct. So that word would come from the Hebrew word Metzaltayim. Metzaltayim is like bells, things that ring. The trinkets around the horse, you know, jingle when it's walking. So that's that interpretation. But if Yohanan Amar, Kol Biza Shebozezim Yisrael, Ad Sha'a Shasus Ratzu Matzil, Yeh Kodesh Lashem. Third interpretation. The Jews are going to plunder the spoils of the enemy from the morning until Chatzot. From the time that the horse goes in the morning until the shade is underneath it. That's the time of a frame of time that the Jews are going to plunder the spoils of their enemies, and all the money that they get from their enemies in war, they're going to give Kodesh Lashem to the Bet HaMikdash. Comes the Gemara and says, right, that she says, Kol biza sheyavozu Yisrael min anochrim biyom echad ad chasot. One day until the midday, Yeh Kodesh Lashem, sheyavi'um nedava lemikdash. They're going to bring it as a donation. So basically we have three interpretations to this pasuk. Let's review the three interpretations quickly. You know, one interpretation is about the expansion of the borders of Yerushalayim, the time that it takes the horse to travel, right, to Chatzot, or it's referring to the fact that the Jewish people are going to donate even the trinkets that are around the horse's neck to the Bet HaMikdash, or the spoils that the Jews win in war, even of one day, all those are going to be given to the Bet HaMikdash. So the Gemara says,
If it's referring to the spoils that the Jewish people are going to get from their enemies, now we understand the end of the pasuk, because the end of that pasuk says, the sirot are the pots of the Beit HaMikdash are going to be made out of gold, like the vessels that they use in the Beit HaMikdash that have to be made out of gold. Even the menial pots, the sirim, are going to be made out of gold. So what does that show you? There's going to be so much money that they're going to be able to even have the pots out of gold. That makes sense if you're going to talk about this, the plunder that the Jewish people have that they're going to donate to the Beit HaMikdash. The pots are going to be like the bowls. Now the bowls we know are gold. But if you're learning the other interpretations, the other interpretations are what? The other interpretation, the walls are going to be expanded. What's it got to do with the bowls turning into gold, or the pots turning into gold? Or if you're learning, it's talking about that they're going to give their trinkets of their horses. What does it got to talk about the pots of the Beit HaMikdash turning into gold? So it says, "My v'ayat sirot bebet Hashem." What is this referring to? The end of the pasuk. What's the connection of the great wealth that's going to be found in the Beit HaMikdash with the first part of the pasuk? Milta achariti kamar. According to the Rebbe, that's a different item. The pasuk is referring to two different subjects. The second part of the pasuk is saying the mitarei Yisrael, that the Jewish people are going to become so wealthy in that time, umitnadve, and they're going to make donations, umaiten, and bring them to the Beit HaMikdash. Bishtama lemandamar biza. Quite the opinion that says that's talking about the spoils of our enemies. Haynu dichtiv velo yeye kenaani od bebet Hashem sevaot. There's not going to be merchants in the Beit HaMikdash, which means if you're learning that the Beit HaMikdash is going to enjoy a tremendous amount of donations, like we're learning from the spoils. In the olden days, according to the Shia, at least, the way it sounds from the Pshat here, is that the Gabbaim, the collectors for the Beit HaMikdash, needed to use that money for business in order to grow the money, in order to make sure that the money becomes profit. The Mefashim don't like that interpretation, because how could they start investing and transacting in the money of Kodesh? And let's say they lose it. So therefore, they understand Rashi to mean a little differently, like this. That if somebody would donate something, a property, so now the Gabbaim had to be in charge of selling the property to get the money in order to buy goods that were needed for the Beit HaMikdash. So there was always transaction. The way the Pasuk writes it is Kenani. The word Kenani, as we're going to see, refers to a merchant. It's not referring to somebody from Kenan. It's a merchant, as we'll see in a moment. So therefore, there's not going to be any need for the Gabbaim to do any merchant business in the Beit HaMikdash. Why? Because there's going to be so much money, they're not going to have to cash in things for other things. There's going to be a real, there's going to be cash, there's going to be gold, there's going to be silver. So that makes sense, according to the opinion that says that it's going to be the spoils that are going to be given to the Beit HaMikdash. So we understand the end of the pasuk says that in that time, the Gabbaim of the Beit HaMikdash are not going to need to be involved in any transactions, because the money is going to be so great. But according to the other opinion that says that the walls of Jerusalem are going to be expanded, or they're going to give the gold from their horses. So what does that got to do with the excessive wealth of the Beit HaMikdash that they're not going to have any need to do merchant? Amar b'Rabbiya, en kan ani. That's what it means. Which is the pasuk is saying that velo yekanani od bebet Hashem en kan ani. There's not going to be any poverty. Kanani is like a shit devot. En kan ani. No tikkun. And therefore, just coming to say that there's going to be wealth in the time of that, and there's not going to be any poverty. It's not referring to merchants, according to that opinion. So the Gemara says, "Uknaani minala dekri tagar." According to the first opinion, how do you know that the word "kanaani" is referring to a merchant? So the Gemara says, "Dichtiv." The pasuk says, "Vayar sham Yehuda bat ish kanaani." It says Yehuda, he saw the daughter of the Kanaani. That was eventually became his wife. So the Gemara is going to ask, well, Yehuda married the daughter of a Kanaani? So the Gemara says, my Kanaani, what does Kanaani mean? Idim Akanani Mamash, if it means yeah, a girl from Canaan, if shot Ba Avraham Vizirit Yitzhak. Is it possible? Avraham warned his son Yitzhak, don't take a girl from Canaan. Ba Yitzhak Vizirit Yaakov. And Yitzhak warned his son Yaakov with the same thing, Lo Tikach Isha Mabinot Canaan. Right? As the Pasuk says, the Yehuda Azir Vinasif. What? Now Yehuda's going to go marry a girl from Canaan? It can't be. He knows that his father's tradition were against it. Bat Gavra Tagra. The daughter of a fellow that was a merchant. So therefore you see that the word Kana'ani is referring to a merchant. Dichtiv, like it says, Kana'an biyadom was named Mirma. The Kana'an, the merchant, had in his hands faulty scales. Right? So therefore you see, obviously, who deals with scales? Merchants. So the Pasuk says, Kena'an biyado muznei mirmah. Viva et emah me'acha. And some say from this Pasuk, the Pasuk is where? It'll be in Yishaya. Pasuk says, Asher sohareha sarim kin'aneha nechbadeh aris. It's merchants and businessmen are noble people. And the end of the pasuk says, "Kinaneha nichbadei ares," were the important people of the land. So you see, in the same context of soharim, which we know are business people, the pasuk talks about kinanim, which are also merchants. Gemara continues, "Vaya Hashem nemelech al kol ares, bayom ahu Hashem echad u'shmo echad." So on that day, God's name is going to be. God is going to be one, and His name is going to be one. So the Gemara asks, "Atua idana la vechadu?" But is God not one today? God is one now. What do you mean? "Bayomahu Yashem echadu shmo echad." So the Gemara says, "Amar biyaha bar hanina lo ke'olam hazeh ha'olam haba." This world is not like the next world. Ha'olam hazeh in this world, al besorot tovot omer baruch atov ametiv. On good news, a person makes a beracha baruch atov ametiv. God is good. And on bad news, what does he say? Omer Baruch Dayana Emet. He says, God, your judgment is Emet. The Olam Abba Kulo Hatov Ametiv. Which means, in Olam Abba, it's all good. There's not going to be Midat Adin. Which means, in this world, so to speak, there's two Midot. There's Midat Adin and Midat Rahamim. There's, so to speak, Hashem, which is Midat Rahamim, Yudke Vavke. And there's Elohim, which is Midat Hadin. Which is a strict. So they're saying, meaning it's only going to be Yudke Vavke. It's not going to be Elohim. There's not going to be judgment. Therefore, there's not going to be a need to make the beracha of Dayana Emet. That's what it means, Hashem Echad. It's going to be just Hashem, not Elohim. Ushmo Echad. And his name is going to be one. So the Gemara says, Mai Echad. What does it mean, one? Atuay dana lav shemo echad? Who? What? God's name is not one? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, lo ka olam hazeh olam haba. Ha olam hazeh nechtav biyudke. Which means, how do we spell God's name in this world? We spell it yudke vavke. Venikra be'alif dalet. But we don't read it yudke vavke. We read it in adanut. We read it ador. Aval olam haba kulo echad nikra. But in Olam Abba, it's all going to be written and read the same way. Biyud he, v'nichtav biyud he. Which means we're going to be able to read God's name as it is. So, Sava Rava l'midrasha b'firka. Rava wanted to teach them in the shiur how to pronounce God's name as it is written. He wanted to show them how it's going to sound. So the old rabbi came to him and told him, Le'alam Ketiv. What is this referring to? There's a pasuk that says, Ze Shemi Le'olam. This is my name for eternity. But if you look at the pasuk, the way Le'olam is written, it's missing a vav. So you can read it, Le'alam. Le'alam in Hebrew would mean, which means you have to conceal it. He'alim, which is Ze Shemi, but you have to keep it concealed. Which is until the time you're not allowed to say it. So therefore, he told them, now stop, Papa, what you're doing. You shouldn't teach them how to pronounce that name. The Gemara says, that Abina brought a contradiction in Pesukim.
It says in the Pasuk, Zeshemi Le'olam. This is my name for eternity. Veze Zichri Le'dor Vador. And this is my Zichri, the memory of my name for every generation. What's the contradiction? So Rashi says, look at the bottom of Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines on the bottom. Ketiv Zeshemi Le'olam Be'alama. Meaning, Shemi Le'olam, missing a vav, meaning you have to conceal it. Right? Uchtiv ze zikri. Zikri is mashma, kriya velo alama. Zikri means you have to remember it. Mashma, you have to say it. So make up your mind. Is it a concealed or is it a zikr? You have to remember it. That's one interpretation. Nashon Acher, continue. Kevan dikhtiv ze shemi. Once the pasuk says ze shemi, this is my name. Peshita de ze zikri. Which is obviously, if it says Zeshemi, this is my name, what does the second part of the pasuk have to come along and say Zezichri? Well, obviously, how do you remember the name? You have to say it. What do you need two parts of the pasuk, Zeshemi and Zezichri? So the Gemara says, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lo kishani nichtav ani nikra, which means the way I'm written is not the way I am said. Nichtav ani biyudhe. Which means it's coming to tell us that there's two shemot over here. There's the shem of the ketiva and there's the shem of the kriya. Ze shemi le'olam. Which means shemi is what the way it's written is going to be yudke vavke. However, ze zichri, ze shemi le'olam, which means my actual name is going to be concealed. I mean, you're not going to be able to pronounce the Shem as it is, but my zecher will be Adanut. He's, my name is Yudke Vavke, but that is concealed, but the name that you will lose is what? Zikri. What's my the memory that you remember me by? By the name of Aleph Dalet. Now, good, and that's the interpretation that we cannot even say Hashem's name as it is. Okay, Hadran Alach Elu Ovrin. So that ends the third perek. And Bezat Hashem, now we begin the fourth perek of the Masechet, and we start with the Mishnah. Makom shenahagu la'asot melacha ba'arbe pesachim ad hasot osim. Makom shenahagu shelo la'asot en osim. Okay, now the Mishnah discusses a very, very important minhag. Erev Pesach, there was a custom in certain places not to do melacha from the morning until Chatzot. Some places had a custom to do melacha from the morning until Chatzot. From Chatzot and on, it was obvious every place had the custom not to work. So therefore, that wasn't the discussion. The discussion only was what the different customs are regarding up until Chatzot. Now, what's the logic why people would not work on Erev Pesach from the morning? So that she says right away, Kedesh shelo yetarud bimlacha, we didn't want the guy to be preoccupied with work, v'yishkach bi'ur chemso, he might forget to burn his chametz, u'shchitat ha-pesach, and you got the slaughtering of the korban, v'tikun matzah, and you have to bake the matzah, v'tzorek ha-layla. So that she tells us it's a mitzvah to get all these things done by day, because at night the halakha says you have to start the seder immediately. Why? Because you don't want the children to fall asleep. You want them to enjoy the seder. You want them to be part of the experience. So therefore, people would take off on Erev Pesach, no work, and just involve themselves in preparations for the seder, so they don't have to start preparing at night. So there was a custom like that. Now, the Tosfot points out that he quotes from the Yerushalmi, that we can read the top Tosfot Makom Shnagu Omer Ri Beshem Riva the Mefarish Birushalmi Mai Shena Arbe Pesachim Mishar Yom Tov. Why is Arbe Pesachim different than all other Yamim Tovim Mishum Dezman HaPesach Mechatzot Ve'ilach? Which means because the reason why you didn't work from Chatzot and on is because when was the time to bring Korban Pesach? After Chatzot. And the halakha says that on the day that you bring a korban, it's considered as a yom tov. And therefore, no, there was no argument. Once already the obligation of Korban Pesach comes, you have to take off because it's a Yom Tov already. So that was already from that time. So then Tosfot asked the question. Also, if you're telling me that on the day that you bring a Korban, it's a Yom Tov, you have to take off, so what about the Korban Tamid? Don't we bring the Korban Tamid every day? And are we represented in the Korban Tamid? So you tell me what? Am Yisrael has to take off every day? So the end of the Tosfot says, Shani Tamid Shatura Utsiyam Min HaKlal Dikhtiv Vasavta Diganecha. We have a special pasuk that says you can go to work. Vasavta Diganecha. Without that pasuk, Vasavta Diganecha, that you can go to work, you'd have to take off as well. He says, V'im Kol Yisrael Yoshvim Beterim Mi Yesof Lehem Dagan. If everybody can sit home, because it's a Yom Tov from the Korban Tamid, who's going to go to work? Who's going to collect the Dagan? Now Tosfot does point out that once already it became Asur in those days, from Hatzot on, that it remains Asur. Which means no Betin can undo an original enactment that was made. So for the discussion, this Mishnah is not from Hatzot on. Even though today there's no Korban Pesach, that remains Isur. The question would be before Hatzot. And before Hatzot, that's already depending on Minhag. So the Gemara says, Mishnah, second line, Ha'olech memakom she'osim memakom she'en osim. Now let's take a guy that goes from a place where the custom is to do melacha, and he goes to a place where the custom is not to do melacha. Or, memakom she'en osim memakom she'osim. Or the opposite. In his place, there, they don't do work. He's going to a place where they do the work. Notnin alaf chumre makom she'yatza misham ve'chumre makom she'alach lesham. They always give him the stringent. Either the stringency to where he's going, or the stringency from where he came from. Which means, he always doesn't work. He always takes the strict opinion. And then the Mishnah says, Ve'al yishane adam mipene hamachloket. But a person should not change from the custom of the place. Now obviously that contradicts what we just said. So the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? How does this statement over here fit in with what we just said? So comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah, Hamolich Perot Shvi'it. Okay, let's review the laws of Shemitah. In the law of Shemitah, the Torah says that the animals, person's animals, are able to eat from the fruits of the field. And furthermore, the halakha says, so long as there's food in the fields for the animals, it is permissible for human beings to consume those same fruits in the person's house. However, once there's no more fruits, let's say, for the animals, so then even if a person still has food in his house from that species, he has to get rid of them. He has to put them in the field and make them hefker. That's the law of Shemitah. So now let's say you have a place where the animals are still eating from this species, but in his place, they finished. So in his place, let's say this fruit became asud, but he goes to a place where the fruit is still mutar, or vice versa. So the Mishnah says, Hamolich perot shvi'it. A guy transports the fruits of the Shemitah year. Mimakom shekalu. In his place, already the eating time was finished. You cannot eat these fruits anymore, because there's no more fruits like that in the field for the animals. Limkom shelokalu. He goes to a place where there's still that species around, or the opposite. Mimakom shelokalu. In his place, it's lokalu, which means they're still eating them. Lemakom shekalu, hayav lebayir. Again, he takes the stringency, he has to get rid of them. Always he takes the stringency of either where he came from or where he's going. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, se vehave, go and bring, lech af ata.
Go out and bring for yourself.
Go out and bring also for yourself. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly Rabbi Yehuda meant. What was he referring to? And we will wait till the Gemara. Comes the Gemara. My iriya arbe pesachim. You told me in the Mishnah, arbe pesachim, on Erev Pesach, before Chatzot, machloket, minhag, depending on the place. Do you work, don't you work? Implying what? That after Chatzot, definitely asur. So the Gemara is saying, why did you have to bring me a diyuk? Meaning, how do I know that after Chatzot is Asur? Because you're telling me that before Chatzot, that's when we have the Minhag. Implying that what? After Chatzot, definitely Asur. Why did you have to bring that diyuk, that implication, from Erev Pesach? My idea arbe pesim afilu arbe shabbatot barbe yamim tovim nameh. The same law applies to Erev Yom Tov and Erev Shabbat. Which is every Erev Yom Tov and every Erev Shabbat, it's asur to also work after Chatzot. So you didn't have to bring a diyuk from arbe. How do I know that working after is asur? Because it says arbe pesachim. Why only arbe pesachim? Not only arbe pesachim, even arbe Shabbatot for that matter, and even Erev Yamim Tov, it's asur to work after Chatzot Yom. Look at the way that she learns this question. My idiyah b'pesachim diktani ad chatzot b'minhaga. Right? The Mishnah clearly says that up until chatzot it's a minhag. Michlal implying that what? The mechatzot ul halal asur. That from chatzot on is asur. The lama le limitne chatzot lashmein al hag diyuka. Why do you have to tell me up until chatzot by Erev Pesach to make the implication that after chatzot asur? We know that already. Hakol arbe yamim toim asireh. We know it's asur already. You don't have to make it from the Yukon this Mishnah. We know every Erev Yom Tov is asur. Every Erev Shabbat it's asur after Chatzot. What is the Mishnah coming to tell us? So it says, how do you know, by the way, it says asur de Tanya? Because we have a Braita. Ha'oseh melacha ba'arbe Shabbatot b'yamim tovim min ha'ol ma'ala. If a person transacts in those business on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov from Minha time and on, en ro'eh siman beracha le'olam. He does not see a beracha forever in that transactions. So the Gemara answers, there's a big difference. Hata mina minhaul ma'ala huda asur. Because on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, it's only asur to work from minha time and on. Samuch le minha lo, but before minha, or close to minha, it's mutar. Hacha mechatzot. But on Erev Pesach, it's asur before. It's asur already from chatzot. So therefore the Mishnah to tell you the din of chatzot by Erev Pesach, because it's different than other arbe Shabbatot and Yemim Tovim. Iname, another answer. Hatam siman beracha hu delo hazeh. Right, there's a difference. Really, I'll tell you on Shabbat also it's chatzot. Erev Shabbat is chatzot also. Oh, so what's the difference between Erev Shabbat and Erev Pesach? On Erev Shabbat, if you work from chatzot and on, you just don't see a beracha. Well, you don't get a blessing in your work. But we don't put the guy in chayim because of that. But on Erev Pesach, if a person works after chatzot, he's already subject to chayim. They excommunicate him. So therefore, it's more serious than regular Erev Shabbat. Gufa, we have a statement. Ha'oseh melacha ba'arbe Shabbatot u'ba'arbe yamim tovim min ha'mincha u'ma'ala. If a person works on Erev Shabbat, quoted in one opinion, from Mincha time and on, Motzei Shabbat, or he works on Motzei Shabbat, which means he doesn't add Chol ala Kodesh, he ends Shabbat the earliest time, he doesn't add to the Shabbat, and right away he does work, Motzei Yom Tov, or for that matter, he doesn't add to Motzei Yom Tov, or for that matter, Motzei Yom Kippurim, right, he doesn't add to the Motzei Kippur, after Kippur, ubchol makom sheyesh sham nidnud avera. Or for that matter, he does work where there's even a trace of sin. What's the example? La'atuye tanit sibur. In the olden days when they would make public fasts, it was forbidden to work because it wasn't a regular fast. The fast days when there was droughts. So the rabbis made decrees that certain fasts were very stringent, that you are not allowed to even do melacha. And therefore, if a person would transact during those days, it would be asur. As the Gemara says, "Einu ro'eh siman beracha le'olam." So basically, any time a person works and makes money in times that he shouldn't, that money is not going to be blessed. What does it mean? Even if he makes money, he's going to lose it. Jeez, the money will go somewhere else. He will not have hana'ah from that money. He'll have losses. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanurabanan. We have a braita. Yesh zariz v'niskav. Sometimes a person who is zealous, and he'll get reward because of his zealousness. The yesh zariz v'nifsad.
And sometimes zealousness will cause a person to lose. Yesh shafev v'niskat. Sometimes a person who's lazy will get reward for his laziness. Yesh shafev v'nifsad. And sometimes a person will get a loss because of his laziness. How? The Gemara explains all four cases. Zariz v'niskar, a person who's going to get rewarded for his zealousness. Da'avid kodesh habetah, he works the whole week. He works 6 days. Ve'lo avid b'ma'aleh shabetah, but he doesn't work on Fridays. He doesn't work on Shabbat. That goes without saying. I mean, he works, let's say, Sunday to Thursday. Mm-hmm. And on Fridays he takes off. So he's zealous. He's a worker. But what? He takes off on Fridays. He's going to get reward because he takes off on Fridays. Doesn't work on Fridays. Zariz v'nifsad. You have another guy who's very zealous, but he gets punished. David kodesh habetah. He works the whole week. David ma'aleh shabetah. And he's so zealous that he even works on Friday. This is not good. This type of zealousness is not good. Shafel v'niskar. You have a lazy guy that's going to get reward. Delo avid kodesh shabetah. He doesn't work the whole week long. Velo avid ma'aleh shabetah. And for that matter, he doesn't work on Fridays also. So in that case, his laziness is good. Even though, we'll see in a second, the guy's not doing it l'shem shamayim. He's not taking off on Fridays l'chmot Shabbat. He's just taking off on Fridays because he takes off on Thursdays because he's just a lazy guy. But what? That type of laziness is good. Shafel v'nifsad. Then you have a lazy guy that's going to lose out. De'lo avid kodesh shabetah. Yeah, he's lazy. He doesn't work the whole week. Ve'avid b'maaleh shabetah. The only day he works is Friday. So that guy, his laziness is no good. So the Gemara says, and let's read Rashi for a second. Rashi says, Ve'afal gav de'lav l'shum mitzvah mechavin. This lazy guy that's taken off the whole week, including Fridays, he's not doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Mitzvah shelo l'shma miyahavya. So it's a mitzvah shelo l'shem shamayim. And the Gemara is going to say immediately that a person should serve God even shelo l'shma. Because eventually, mitok shelo l'shma, ba l'shma. So therefore, it's okay. He gets reward even though the intent is not there. Amar Abba. Abba said, Hani neshed mechoza. These ladies of the city of Mechoza, Afalgav de lo avdan, avita b'ma'ale shabbeta mishum mefankuta, that they don't work on Friday because mefankuta, because they are literally delicate or finicky, which is the reason why they're not working is not lechmot Shabbat, because they're delicate. It's too much work for them, so they take off on Fridays. What's the proof? Because they don't work the whole week. So therefore you see that the reason why they're not working on Fridays got nothing to do with lechmot Shabbat, because these ladies, they don't work even during the week. They're very, very delicate. They were, you know, nashim hashuvot, let's call them, whatever it is. Afilu hacheh shafil v'niskar karinaneu. But still they're called lazy ones that get reward for their laziness. Why again? Because even though they're not l'shem shamayim, but mitok shelo l'shma, ba l'shma. Good. Comes the Gemara says, Rabba ameketi. Rabba brought a contradiction in Pesukim. Ki gadol ad shamayim hazdecha. God, your kindness reaches up to the heavens. Uchtiv, ki gadol me'al shamayim hazdecha. Your goodness, God, is above the heavens. So make up your mind. Is it up to the heavens or above the heavens? So the Gemara says, Haketzad, kan be'osin l'shma, ve'kan be'osin shelo l'shma. Depends. If a guy serves God, shelo l'shma, he gets reward. But what? Ad l'shamayim. But if a person serves God, l'shma, with the right intention, ma'al l'shamayim, then the reward is even above the heavens. You say, much higher reward. Uktanav Yehuda. Like the opinion of Yehuda, the man of Yehuda, Amarav, Le'olam ya'asur kadam b'turah mitzvot, apa pi shelo l'shma. Person should serve God originally, even if it's not l'shem shamayim, mitoch shelo l'shma, ba l'shma. Because eventually his intent will change. Just do the act. Eventually it'll seep in, and you'll start doing for the right intention. So comes the Tosfot right away and says, what are you talking about? The Gemara Berachot we learned said, the guy who learns Torah with the wrong intent, better that he wasn't created. And here Rabbi Yehuda is telling you, Learn Shalom Lishma. So Tosfot makes a very important hiduk. There's two types of Shalom Lishma. There's one type of Shalom Lishma that our Gemara is talking about over here. He's doing it for kavod, for ulterior motives, for some benefit. That type of Shalom Lishma, it's okay. However, the Gemara Berachot that was saying no Allah Shalom Lishma was talking about a guy's learning in order to criticize, in order to uproot. Which is the only reason why he's learning Torah is to disprove it, to question it, to disparage it. That type of Shalom Lishma is unacceptable. Which means, the way the Mefarshim explained it, it has to be a Shalom Lishma that can lead to Lishma. That type of Shalom Lishma will never lead to Lishma. Therefore, it is unacceptable. Furthermore, it's worthy to spend one moment to explain a very important diyuk that I once heard from the Square Rebbe in explaining this Gemara. Le'olam yasuk adam b'torah mazvot shelo lishma. According to the way we're understanding it, in the beginning of one's career, he should be shelo lishma, and eventually it'll turn lishma. So why is the Gemara using the lashon le'olam? Le'olam means forever. Le'olam yasuk adam b'torah mazvot shelo lishma. Forever he should be shelo lishma. No, it should say betchila yehiye shelo lishma. V'al kach yehiye lishma. What's le'olam? So he explained it beautifully, that every day a person is supposed to elevate himself. Every day a person is supposed to grow. He's not supposed to be the same person he was yesterday, today. His awareness and recognition of God is constantly growing and expanding. So therefore he explains like this. A person finally reaches a level of lishma, serving God according to all his kavana, right? The next day he gets a greater awareness. So when he looks back at yesterday's service, he says, yesterday, that was shelo lishma. Compared to what I'm doing today, now I'm serving God lishma. And then he grows a little more. And then he looks back at the day before and says, yesterday, that was nothing. Which means, for example, take that person praying the Amidah. The more kavanah he has, right? So he says, oh, today I prayed a good Amidah. Then he learns another kavanah in the Amidah. So he looks back, yesterday's kavanah, that was nothing. Now I'm really praying with kavanah. Which is, since he's constantly growing, he always looks at the avodah of the day before as shelo lishma. So when the Gemara says le'olam yadam osik shelo lishma, that means what? You're always moving up the ladder of ruhaniyut. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanu rabbanan hamsapeh l'schar ishto. A person that is lazy, so he anticipates on the wages of his wife. Means, because his wife will go to work, and he'll get the money. V'rehayim, or he relies on the fact that he's going to rent out his rehayim, which is like the millstone or the grinder. And that's how he's going to make money. So the Gemara says, En ro'eh siman beracha le'olam. On these items you don't see Beracha. Gemara explains. Skar ishto, he's relying on his wife's wages to support himself. Matkulta. What is matkulta? Literally means a scale. That she says, notelet moznayim biyada. She takes the scale from the house with her hands. Umhalechet bishuk. And what does she do? She goes to the marketplace to rent it out to anybody that needs a scale. The schar mu'atu, first of all, the earnings in such a business is very minimal. You're embarrassing your wife for a small little profit like this. He tell you, go take the scale, go rent it out. Makes up this is, you don't see beracha from this money. The scale or the millstone or the grind that we're talking about, agarta, which means he's renting it out. However, that she says sechar rehayim shemaskirim torah gadol. It's a big burden. I guess it was very heavy, so you have to transport it. So for the work that you're doing and the money that you're getting, it's really not it's not worth it. However, the Gemara says aval avda umizabna. But if a lady is involved in transactions, meaning she buys goods and sells goods, meaning she's not renting out the scale, stuff like that, to transact,
Then the pasuk already praises such a woman. Dichtiv sadin aseta vatemkor. And the Eshet Chayil, what does it say? She made a sadin, a blanket, and what did she do with it? She sold it. So therefore, that's already praiseworthy if a lady's involved in transaction. But to go embarrass your wife, to let her go be involved in menial jobs like that, that already you do not see a siman beracha de'olam. Incidentally, the Tosfot learns the word matkulta a little different than Nashi. That she understood the word matkulta to mean a scale. Tosfot says matve. That's her yarn or her weavings. Okay? So that she says, what is it talking about over here? So it says, let's say she's spinning yarn for people. So why is it degrading to her? So the Ben Hana says a big hadush. Because when she has to spin the yarn, what happens? Her arms are exposed. Because I guess when you're spinning, you have to lift up your sleeves. So therefore, it's a desire for the lady to have to do such a work that causes her to be immodest. And therefore, anybody that puts their wife in a position that she has to make a panazah in an immodest way, there's no beracha ne'olam in such wealth, such money. Comes the Gemara continues. Hamistakir bekanim, a person that makes business with kanim. Kanim literally means like a cane or pieces of wood. He sells them to make fences and things like that. Ubekan kanim, or jars. Enro esiman beracha le'olam. There's no beracha in this business. My ta'ama, what's the reason? Kevan de nafish af hazayhu, since they are, the nefach of them is very big. They're very big items. They're bulky. They're big volume items. Shal tabiu ena, there's einar on them. Which means you might not be selling a lot of them, but what? It's a big items. You see the guy walking with the truckloads of this, these sticks and these stuff. Wow, these big things. People say, oh, he's making a lot of money, this guy. Look at these big things that he's selling. Big items like this, you shouldn't be involved in selling, because it causes the eye of people to put on it, and therefore he loses. Tarra banan. The Gemara continues. Tagre simta. These are the guys that sell their wares in the open market. So they have ayin aran. Everybody sees exactly what they're doing. Umgadele behema daka. Those are the people that raise small animals. Everybody's always yelling at them because the animals are always grazing on other people's fields and they're always, damaging. So there's always people that are complaining against these people. Vekotzetze ilanot tovot. And those people that are involved in cutting down trees, which means they cut trees in order to sell the wood. And again, people are always complaining on them because they're fruit trees. So people come along and say, hey, what are you cutting down the tree for? So there's always complaints in these three industries. Or you have a type of guy that whenever he divides things amongst people, I guess he has partners or he has to divide, let's say, certain things, he always demands the best piece for himself. So that causes people to always talk about him. Oh, this guy, he always has to take the best, the division for himself. These guys do not have beracha forever. Why? Because people are always amazed by them. They always say, what are they doing? What are they doing? There's animals eating in somebody else's field. What are you cutting down the tree for? Look at these guys, selling their wares in the public. So therefore, it's not a profitable business. Comes the Gemara and continues. Dalit pirutot. And behem siman, beracha le'olam. Four coins, you don't have beracha, which means people that get paid coins or money in the following industries, that money will never bring a beracha. Sachar kotvin, those are the kotvin of the sofrim, those people that write tefillin and mezuzot. Sachar meturgemanim, that's the people that are interpreters. Meaning that they interpret the rabbi's shi'ud. In the old days, the rabbi would speak, let's say, in Hebrew. And then the interpreter would get up in Aramaic and interpret it to the Gaal. There's no, that money that you get for doing that, there's no beracha. Muschar yetomim, and the money of the yetomim, which means that a person invests the money of the yetomim and takes a piece of it. He takes a profit, up to 50%. Uma'ot haba'ot b'medinat hayam. And money that comes from overseas, which means he's always sending boats back and forth overseas with merchandise. No beracha. So the Gemara is going to explain why is there no beracha in these businesses. Bishlama sechav miturgamim.
I understand why the interpreter, that money is not beracha, mishum de mehzik ischar Shabbat. Because it looks like he's getting paid for Shabbat work. Because when was the main derasha on Shabbat? So this guy, it looks like you're working on Shabbat, even though it's really not. Because most of these interpreters will also work during the week. So if you work during the week, so therefore the money that you're getting paid for Shabbat, we say it's swallowed in the payment that you're doing during the week. But it looks like. So therefore, since it's a type of industry that looks like you're getting paid for Shabbat, no beracha. I understand why a person that becomes, investing the money of the yetomim and things like that, why is no beracha? Because if, let's say, he takes some money from the yetomim, they are not old enough to forgive him. So you have to be a certain age, you have to be a gadol to say to somebody, I'm mohel you. So therefore, since these young kids are not able to be mohel, it comes out he's a thief. And therefore, you're not going to see beracha in the money. I understand if a person, let's say, gets business from overseas on boats. Why? No beracha. Because not every day there's going to be a miracle. Which means a lot of times these boats would sink. So once in a while there was a miracle that the boat didn't sink. But you can't rely on a miracle every day that your merchandise is not going to sink on these boats. But if a guy's a sofer, he writes tefillin and mezuzot, tefillin and Torah, the money that he gets, why shouldn't it be beracha? So again, what I says, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Chav Dalid Ta'anuyot, Yashvu Anche Knesset Agedola, Al Kotve Sefarim Tefillin and Mezuzot, Shelo Yitasheru. The Anche Knesset, the men of the Great Assembly, fasted 24 fasts, for the specific reason that what? That scribes that write Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzot should not become wealthy. Why? Because if they become wealthy, they're going to stop writing. If they stop writing, we're not going to have Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzot. So therefore, they're telling you there's no Siman Beracha Le'olam in this business, because if they become rich, then we're not going to need them anymore. So Kazi Gevra says, Taru Rabbanan, Kotve Sefarim Tefillin and Mezuzot, the writers of Tefillin and Mezuzot, Sefer Torah, Hen, V'tigrehen, the ones that sell it for them, V'tigrehen, and the ones that sell it from the seller, which means anybody that's involved in selling it, V'chol Aoskim B'mlechet Shamayim, and for that matter, anybody that's selling Melechet Shamayim, any religious articles, Le'atuyeh, Mochre Techelet, including those people that sell the Techelet, which is the blue dye for the seed, Enam Roin Siman Beracha Le'olam. They will not see Beracha Le'olam. Ve'im Oskim Lishma Roin. But if they work Lishem Shamayim, they will see. Meaning, if their attitude is that even if I become wealthy, I'm not going to stop my business. I mean, they're not doing it for the money specifically. Mm-hmm. The guy's attitude is, even if I become very, very wealthy, I'm going to still sell the sefarim, I'm still going to write. Then already, they get a beraka. But if they're only doing it to make money, there's no money in this business over here. This is already established from the Achik and Esed HaGedolah. Last point. Gemara says, Bene Baishan. The people of Baishan, Nahug, had a custom. They wouldn't travel from the city of Tzur to Tzidon on Fridays. Fridays was the market day in the city of Tzidon. So they needed to take a boat from Tzur to Tzidon to have business. They didn't. Their custom was, even though, according to the halakha, according to Masechet Shabbat, such a small boat ride was permissible on Fridays. Which is, we learned that on Fridays a person should not go on a boat for a long distance. However, the Gemara said from Sur to Sidon, right, that's not a significant distance. You can take the boat. But the people of Baishan, they were mahmir on themselves. Even though they missed the market day, they wouldn't go on the boat. Atu benayu. So the children of these mahmirim, they came kamed Rabbi Yohanan. They came in front of Rabbi Yohanan. They said like this, Amru lo. Abhatin ifshar lehu. Our fathers were rich.
they were able to take off on Fridays and not go to the market by boat. And not no ekshadlan. But we don't have the same money as our parents did, and therefore we want to travel. We want to know, do we have to continue following the minhag of our fathers? Amar lehu kevar kibelu avotechem alehem. Already your parents accepted this as a minhag on the family. Shne'emar she'ma'beni musar abicha v'atitos torat emecha. You finished. You are bound by the minhag of your father, therefore you cannot break it. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.